everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, the podcast that always comes in first, unless the outcome matters. I'm your host, Pete Pollock, and this week on the show, The Silence of the Lambs. Probably what is arguably one of the odder choices for Best Picture. But that's what they picked. 1991 was the year, and I will be talking about it very, very soon. So soon you won't even realize it. And this is one I'm talking about it. So there we go. That was pretty quick, huh? This is it was a strange choice. It was such a strange choice that I remember back in, I guess it was early 1992, I was over at a friend's house with a group of people, and we were watching the Oscar telecast. And about, probably 9:30 at night or something like that, we're getting down to the last 6 or 7 hours of the Oscars. And a friend of mine and I were discussing how there was no way, and we agreed on this, that there was no way that Silence of the Lambs would ever win as Best Picture, because the Academy doesn't pick movies like that for Best Picture. And somewhere about, 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes later, we were proven totally wrong, because there it was, right there on stage. And, I'm kind of glad that they picked this one, because it is an unusual choice. It's really a kind of a horror movie. I don't know if it's a pure horror movie. It's certainly not a horror movie in the Friday the 13th mode, because that would really, here's a chance to prove me wrong. That would really never, ever win Best Picture. Let's see what happens then. Give me 6 months, maybe I'll be proven wrong and I'll be reviewing that right here. But it's really a horror movie. It's got a little bit of police investigation stuff going on. I'll tell you, if Anthony Hopkins isn't in this movie, it doesn't win Best Picture. Okay. That's all there is to it. It's an enjoyable flick. It's essentially we've got a, it starts off with this bad guy. He's a serial killer, and he's a really, really disgusting serial killer who goes around skinning his victims and leaving their bodies to be found by police. And aside from that hobby of his, we don't know too much about him, and neither do the police. But what the police do know is that they have, I say police, but it's really more about the FBI than anything else. What they do know is that they have another serial killer in custody who happens to be a genius, who happens to be a real nutbag, and who happens to be Anthony Hopkins. And that is a winning combination for people voting for the Oscars. And what they do is they send in Jodie Foster, who's in training, and we're never really sure why they send her in, but they do. Well, I guess they do explain it. They say that he probably wouldn't have responded to a regular FBI agent. So she's in FBI training, and they send her in to interview him and see if he knows anything at all about anything about serial killers. And of course he does, but he doesn't really want to talk unless he plays a little game where she talks to him about her life, and then he will tell her what she needs to know. Now, before you think that it's weird that they just go in and start interviewing a random serial killer, it also turns out that Anthony Hopkins' character, Hannibal the Cannibal, was also a psychiatrist in real life. And so he has keen insight into his own pathology. And yet, it didn't stop him from embracing it. But so she spends a good chunk of the movie, really the most fascinating parts of the movie, talking to Anthony Hopkins. And, I love Jodie Foster. I think she's absolutely fantastic. I've enjoyed her work going back as long as I can remember. And Scott Glenn is in this movie, too, and he's always great. But as good as they are, they're really meaningless in comparison to Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins owns this movie from the first moment he's on screen. This is a great example of underplaying a role, because, you know, you see people and anybody can chew the scenery if they really want to. Anthony Hopkins, you know, just by virtue of his presence, almost gets the scenery to chew itself. He can't even be bothered. And he, you know, he stares straight into the camera. They have this just great scenes where he's just looking straight into your soul, it looks like. And he talks in a very low, almost a monotone. And he's always very calm until later on in the movie when you know that something is going to happen because you know that he's not going to be happy just sitting in a cage through the whole movie. But you're never really sure what his game is or how he's playing people or who he's playing or if he's entirely playing. And so that's pretty fascinating. And strangely enough, the story of the serial killer who's leaving bodies skinned a lot, you know, not alive, but skinning people, you know, and leaving their bodies around the country, that almost takes, you know, it's really of secondary importance, you know, compared to all the stuff that's going on with Anthony Hopkins and Jodie Foster. So when they finally get around later on in the movie to the suspense part, well, you know, there's always suspense, but the part where they're really close to tracking down the serial killer, the relevant one in the movie, it's really kind of surprising, like, oh yeah. This is going on. And that's the part where Anthony Hopkins is in it much less or really not at all. And you know, maybe the movie loses a step, which is strange because, you know, you're getting your big climax and the guy who really scared the dickens out of you is nowhere to be found. Now, the other guy is scary and he's creepy and weird, but we've certainly seen scary, creepy and weird and psychotic characters in movies before, and we're seeing them since. I've never seen a Saw movie, but I suspect that that's pretty much what they're all about from the get-go. So, you know, what this guy's doing is probably pale in comparison, but this was 1992, and it's still pretty creepy. I mean, if it was really happening in real life, it would still be pretty messed up. Let's face it. So, you know, and then, you know, Anthony Hopkins has a nice little denouement appearance at the end, and I'm not going to give any more away than that. If you haven't seen the movie, you probably should. It's certainly not a skip it. Now, as to whether or not it's a rent it or a buy it, I've kind of, you know, every once in a while I go back and forth on these. Some of them are really obvious and some of them aren't. I'm going to call this one a buy it, but it's not a buy it in the sense that no film collection should be without Silence of the Lambs. That's certainly not true. It's a good movie. It's definitely a good movie, and it's definitely entertaining, and it's certainly worth watching on multiple occasions, and that makes it a buy it. Aside from Anthony Hopkins and a little bit of Jodie Foster's character, you don't really get a whole lot of character development in what's going on. You've got great interplay, but there's not a lot of depth to the story. I think once you watch it once or twice, you're pretty much going to understand what's going on. It's not one of those movies where you watch it 25 times and the 25th time through, you're still catching things that you never noticed before. Some movies are like that, and those are at the absolute pinnacle, in my opinion, of filmmaking. This isn't one of those, but it's still worth checking out on multiple occasions because it's one of those things that you're going to get together with your friends, and if you're in the mood for a creepy, weird movie some night, this is a good choice. It's very well made, very well done, and definitely has the suspense, and it's worth watching more than once. That's my review, and that is Silence of the Lambs. Now, next week... Next week, we're looking at Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood directing, and Morgan Freeman. You know, he's one of my favorite actors. He's in there, and Gene Hackman, another great guy. You know, good cast. I've never actually seen Unforgiven, so kind of looking forward to seeing how this one plays out. It's a Western, and I like Westerns. I just don't watch a lot of them. So I'm intrigued by Unforgiven. So we'll get to that next week. Until then, this is Pete Pollack. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. Have a great week, everybody.